You don't seem like the kind of guy who goes outside and walks.
Everybody, that was, in case for those keeping score at home, that was a weight joke that David made. I've been
thinking through our last episodes. You're way meaner to me than I am to you.
You're right. It's about time. I'm just pointing it out.
I'm letting you know that you may expect to see one of those every couple of episodes.
Okay, good. I am pretty mean to you.
Unless you shape up.
I will have you know, Mr. McCookie, dieting currently and have lost 7 pounds. All right.
Way to be. If I lost 7 pounds, the doctor would be concerned.
Yeah. We need to transfer you to hospice care. You've lost 6 pounds. And now, the Lettuce from a Flogging podcast presents Awkward Moments from Jim's Life, David McCookie edition.
Hey, Jim. So Sarah and I made a introductory YouTube video for our Relight app. I was hoping you could watch it and let me know what you think.
Sure, I could do that. So I watched it. And I have two things for you. Number one, it's kind of long. And also, it looks like it was lit by Ingmar Bergman.
It is a bit long, but who's Ingmar Bergman? Jim?
Hmm?
Who's Ingmar Bergman?
Oh, a Swedish filmmaker who made movies about death. This has been Awkward Moments from Jim's Life, David McCookie edition. Okay, so I am in charge of the intro today. So you, strangely enough, David, introduced our show topic today. And the show topic for next week's show, you suggested it.
Yes, yes.
And not quite sure how that came about from your mind, because right. You don't really think about, we're going to talk about emotions today.
Oh, I can tell you. Do you want to know?
Next week, we're going to talk about emotions. And I'm just thinking, David, not the most attuned to his emotions as others are. Not saying that you're not, but
you can say that I'm not. That's fine.
Yeah. But so the research I've been doing for today's show, point before I say that, what were you going to say? Why did you choose today's topic?
Honestly, the last episode was very me heavy, me talking heavy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But at one point, one of the things that you said was that, you are realizing that you are a much more emotional person than you thought you were.
Yeah.
And so I thought of this topic as a way to let you talk about that more.
And to counterbalance.
Yes.
The David being laid bare last week, wandering the Arctic without any protective clothing on. That's probably what you felt like last week.
I guess.
Yeah.
No,
This is the kind of interaction you can come to expect from the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast. I say something and David stares at me and goes, huh, yeah, okay. So anyways, back to the intro script that I have in my head. I did some digging on Google and found a really, some interesting articles on emotions that you and I feel, that everybody feels, but the English language doesn't have a clear, concise descriptor for. So like, you know how emotion...
Like Belagon.
What's that one?
That's Belagon.
But what's the emotion?
It's... Okay. It's when you go to the store.
Okay.
And it's just way busier than you expect it to be. And you throw your hands up and you're like, Belagon!
Yeah. No, is that what language is
Yiddish.
That from? Yiddish. Okay, good.
Yeah, I went to a dispensational Bible school.
True. You have to be quite proficient in Yiddish.
That's where I learned that.
Okay, kids, let's do our Yiddish.
How will you make it through the tribulation? Okay. You don't know your Yiddish.
We got to stop this soon. So I looked up a number of different emotions that have a descriptor in a foreign language, but do not have a descriptor in the English language. Am I being clear about that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so there's no equivalent.
Si, senor.
Si, senor. But we have felt these emotions, right?
Right.
So I...
you may have.
So I compiled, I hunted and gathered a number of these emotions to chat with you about on the intro. So you get to do that with me.
Hooray.
All right. So now I should also say... And this will become abundantly clear as I start talking. I have made really no effort to learn how to pronunciate many of these foreign language words.
Or the English ones, yeah.
And I am kind of regretting that right now as we speak. But since we're already recording, yes, we might as well get started. So, first on the list, this is a Norwegian word. Mm-hmm. Or Norwegian.
Yeah,
yeah, Norwegian. this is going to be your role. When I mention the nationality of the word, you're just going to try and find a joke that corresponds to that nationality or accent, and it will be great. It'll all work out in the end.
That's how I have friends.
So this first one, it's a Norwegian word. It's called forelsket. Forelsket, everybody. Forelsket. What is forelsket? The emotion is the absolutely electric feeling one experiences when they fall in love at the very beginning. Yes. Or in other words, what David felt like when he met Sarah and when he met the iPhone 3. Forelsket.
You want
Forelsket.
You want to know something?
What?
There was never an iPhone 3.
There was.
No.
Yeah, there was.
An iPhone, iPhone 3G, iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4.
Same. It's fine. It's okay. Fine. It's fine.
Look, if you're going to make fun of me, you have to do it accurately.
I wasn't making fun of you.
I don't have high expectations.
I was stating truth, my brother. Okay, next up, it's a Thai, from the Thai language. It's a Thai thing. Mm-hmm, it's called Grangjai.
Is that the feeling that you get when you are trying to...
You're kidding, I'm going to have you guess these.
Is that the feeling that you get when you're trying to do a single Windsor, but you've done double Windsors all your life?
Haven't we all been there?
Yeah. No. It's a Thai word.
Yeah. The anguish one feels does not have an equivalent in the English language. Grangjai, it means basically the uneasy feeling you get when someone goes out of their way to help you, but you know it's a hassle. Come on, we felt this before. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is why I never talk to, look at, or think about anyone when I'm at the store.
All right.
So moving on.
Jim, do you need help finding zebra cakes?
I need help with jokes is what I need. No, I don't need help finding those. The next word is from the Inuit language.
Ah, Eskimo.
Our friends from the north. Mm-hmm. That's racist. The word is...
What?
Iksuarpak. Iksuarpak.
That's racist.
It's a feeling. It's feeling anxious about visitors arriving, perhaps so much that you can't stop checking the window for incoming evidence. So when you're doing that, you are feeling iksuarpak.
Yeah, I get that every time we have company.
Or in other words, David at church greeting time. next word, it's Spanish. This is David here.
I speak some Spanish.
Yeah, you also,
un poquito.
Yep, you clap in Spanish, you speak in Spanish. We got...
I think it was Italian.
Peña ajena. Peña ajena. There we go. Peña ajena. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt peña ajena before?
Is no.
Okay, it's experiencing peripheral mortification for someone else's embarrassment.
I get that when I watch The Office. That's part of why.
Everyone gets that when they watch it, especially the first season. In other words, this is how I feel when I look at David during church greeting time. I'm just going to take some water here.
Estoy muy embarazado.
Muy pequeño, though. Muy pequeño. And the next word
is... By the way, I'm not pregnant. Keep going.
Uno pregunta. So, saudade. Saudade. This is a Portuguese word.
Okay.
It's a specifically crushing feeling of recognizing the fact that something you lost will never be found again. Very sad. Have you ever felt this before, David? Saudade.
Never really lose things. I have a system, Jim.
Where's my iPhone 3? It's, in other words, what Jim and every other legitimate Star Wars fan felt when they saw The Last Jedi. I'm glad I got a giggle out of you.
I just think you're broadening
the feeling of Saudade was so visceral and complete and full. Mm. And you're over there eating your popcorn saying, oh, that was a really good movie.
I hate popcorn.
Okay.
Well, do you know why I hate popcorn?
Why is that?
It always gets stuck in my throat and I end up coughing. And the worst place to eat it is a movie theater.
I suppose because you're so vulnerable.
No, because you're just making a bunch of noise, coughing, and people are mad at you. Okay. And they start throwing popcorn at you, which only exacerbates the issue, as you would say.
Keep your mouth closed when you do that. So the next word, it's Georgian. Georgian. So that must be...
From Georgia.
From Georgia.
Georgia.
They do speak a foreign language down there. An angel from Montgomery came and told me... No, that's... I'll delete that. So this word, it's Georgian.
Moroni? Is that what you were looking for?
No. It's... Shimo Shimo Adagio. Shimam Adagio.
It means, what's the language?
It's Georgian.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Yeah. No, not that Georgian.
Right.
The Eastern European Georgian?
I think if you add a whistle to your S, Shimo.
Shishan.
You'll sound like you're from Georgia.
Or from the Winnie the Pooh. It means you're full, but everything tastes so dang good. You're full, but everything tastes so good, you just keep on munching.
Never experienced that.
That's Shimodagio. Mm-hmm. In other words, Jim always and David never.
How many of these do you have?
I have a few.
Okay.
This is great.
Yeah, you can't tell me
this
how many.
This is great. This is always a good sign that the bit is going well.
Right.
David asked when it's going to be done.
I asked that about the show, too.
Sure. And we're only about 14 minutes in. So the next word, it's German. It's Torschlusspanik. Torschlusspanik.
You need to sound angrier and flemmier.
Torschlusspanik. Torschlusspanik. There we go.
No, now you sound whiny. It's That's German. Like Tanner's whiny German.
It means the searing panic one feels and experiences when they suspect opportunity closing with their age. Or in other words, a normal day for me. Next word, it's another German one. It's Waldensamkeit. 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 There we go. Waldensamkeit.
Yippee-ki-yay.
German. The feeling of standing completely alone in the woods. A feeling that you're standing completely alone in the woods. Have you ever felt that before?
No.
Like you feel it, not that you are.
Oh,
but you feel it. Like I've never stood.
Why would I feel it if I'm not?
I've never. This is, folks. This is what happens when I discuss emotion with David. So it's in other words, what David tries to feel like during church greeting time. I wish I was a happy place. Be alone in the woods. Be alone in the woods. And then you're terrified all over again. The next one, it's from a culture or language I don't recognize. Ulwa. Ulwa. The word is Yaputka. Yaputka.
Mm-hmm.
This one entails a feeling of walking in the forest alone, much like Waldensamkeit, but suspecting that you're covered in creepy crawlies. This is a thing. So the feeling that you're walking in the forest alone and suspect that you're covered in creepy crawlies. So in other words, when David attempts Waldensamkeit, he fails, but feels Yaputka instead because it's church greeting time.
Is that
what?
I'm just looking at your notes. You don't have like 4 pages of these, right?
Oh, we're almost done. Don't worry.
Okay.
The next one is another German one. It's called Sehnsucht. Sehnsucht. They're life longings. It's an intense desire for alternative states and realizations of life, even if they're unattainable. So you desire this state in life. It's unattainable, but you desire it anyway.
That's like a midlife crisis.
You're like Sehnsucht. Or in other words, whenever I go on a diet. I'm getting courtesy laughs from David. Last one.
You're getting courtesy snorts.
Courtesy snorts. It's an Australian Aboriginal term. It's...
Our German Tech Reformation co-host should know this one.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he's close by. It's Dadiri. Mm-hmm. Dadiri.
Wait, I think I've heard this word before.
Dadiri. Dadiri. Dadiri.
Is it diggery-doo?
No, it's a deep spiritual act of reflective and respectful listening. In other words, what David doesn't feel when I talk to him. Now, folks, that does it for our foreign emotions segment, intro to the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast. I feel like I learned a few things.
Mm.
I feel like you didn't because you don't care about me or the show or what I just read.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just go ahead and get started. What do you say?
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your cold, distant, emotionless co-host, David.
It's true.
And sitting across from me at a contractually negotiated 29 and a half feet is my co-host, Jim Briggs, who, I will just say, was the inspiration for this week's topic.
Come on, David.
You were the sole inspiration for this week's topic.
No.
In other words, this is about you, not me, because I'm incapable of addressing these topics.
You set me up for failure is what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that like a year and a half ago when we started this show.
Duh, Jim, have you not gotten that by now? Yeah, it is. So there's a, okay, folks, let's just do follow up. I said last week that when a Protestant becomes a Catholic, they like swim the Tigris or something like that. And I got that wrong because there is a phrase.
You admitted in the moment that you couldn't remember what it was.
Well, I mean, I said Tigris, but I'm like, that can't be it. That's not right. Mm. And then one of our Slack listeners chimed in and said the phrase for doing that, for converting to Roman Catholicism, is swimming the Tiber, crossing
the Tiber. That's what you have in the notes.
And so it's the Tiber River, not Tigris. It's the Tiber. Tiber is,
I believe,
flows through Rome. So that's what the phrase is. So don't do that, folks. Don't swim the Tiber. Don't.
I mean, unless you're talking like literally and you have the opportunity, that could be cool.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. If you want a tube down the Tiber, you know, I mean, that could be fun.
Tube down the Tiber. Just don't. Title.
Yeah. Thank you. If you want to do that with a beer, like a lazy river thing,
right?
You know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just don't swim the Tiber metaphorically into Rome's waiting hands.
But if you're in Rome, you could swim the Tiber metaphorically away from Rome.
Yeah.
Because the river has to allow passage both ways.
What a great reverse. You know what you and I need to do? We need to go to Rome, get in the Tiber, and swim away from it. Swim away from Rome to like really stick it to
Rome. I don't really swim, though.
That ought to do it. Wait, what? You don't swim?
Well, I can like tread water, but I you can't I'm not very, not very swimmy.
Yeah, I don't do water either.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Swimming the Tiber, crossing the Tiber. But the point is, it's Tiber, not Tigris.
T-I-B-E-R.
That's right. There you go. Do you have anything?
I have just one point. We've mentioned Relight on here several times, but I keep saying that it's not like fully launched yet. We're kind of launching it in phases.
Kinda is, right?
Yeah, we're kind of launching it in phases. Like, when are we going to ask permission to publish to the Reform Pub versus like start actually running ads? Anyway, we had a big milestone yesterday. I launched the app to the Covenanters Facebook group and to the Confessional Bibliology Facebook group because I knew that they would appreciate
your people
this particular feature set.
They would love this.
So we're now making an effort. It's going to be on our social media profiles, that kind of thing. We're making an effort. Mm-hmm. We're telling people it's relight.app, or you can find a link in the show notes. But we're moving forward on that. That's just an update.
It's the big time now, isn't it?
It's still the small time.
Is it, quote,
small fish, small pond?
Is it getting real
yet? Oh, it's getting very real. Like Real Player One real.
You gotta really hustle now.
Well,
you're in it.
Thing is, Jim.
What?
You must not know me at all.
Maybe.
Every day I'm hustling.
He is. I can confirm everyone.
Yeah.
The most white voice I could say that. Yeah, he is. He's hustling every day. Okay.
That's all we have. I listened to the show today. I just didn't have anything.
Yeah, not a lot. Maybe that means we didn't screw up as much.
I guess I can point out that a friend did tell me, and he sent me a text rather than communicating on Slack.
David, let's talk about this. Yeah. What about of the people you know that listen to the show?
Yeah, it was only this one guy.
So what was his feedback?
He said that he's worked with autistic people.
Yeah.
And he would put money that I am on the spectrum. Money on the table.
What more do you need?
Right.
A guy who knows what he's talking about is put money towards this. Mm-hmm, and he would put it on the line.
On the table.
On the table, right there, sitting in front of you and me.
Now there's a line on the table. He put it on the line on the table.
Yeah, if there was a line on that table in the middle of the room, 29.5 feet, there would be money there.
Yeah.
And but no other feedback really from people.
There was a bunch of stuff in the Slack. You should join the Slack, guys.
You should.
But I don't think there was anything that we needed to correct or anything that I cared about correcting.
Not a whole lot. So that was good. Yeah, folks, it's a good episode to listen to. Like we want you to listen to all the episodes on this show. But
I'm not evil.
David says, I maybe not. But there are a couple.
If you want to listen to all of our episodes, you can just go to reformpubcast.com. There you will find something better.
Okay. David is on. He's on fire today, folks. He's on point.
Like Servetus.
So last week would be a great episode to listen to if you want to get to know David.
Yes.
If you want to learn a little bit more about him and why he is the way he is, why he ticks, why he talks, and all that good stuff in between. So yeah, I recommend you listen to it. Now today we're going to get into something a little bit different, but before we do that, let's get into a music break.
Right, because that's necessary.
Firm feature. It is.
I was saying it is.
Okay, yeah, but you did it in a tone.
Right.
The one emotion you are capable of.
Sarcasm.
Is sarcasm. And
it might have been sardonic.
And scorn.
Right.
Towards people.
Yeah, that's sardonic.
People of my kind.
Right.
And I heard it.
Your ilk.
But music breaks are a good thing.
Okay.
It's a broadcasting thing.
Do you do them in church?
People need breaks from us.
Right.
So that's
people do need breaks from us in church.
In church. So let's go ahead and do that, and we'll be right back, folks.
Allons-y.
Hey, we're back. Back into the show. So we're going to talk about emotions, people. What a great topic to do after a show about Asperger's or being on the spectrum somewhere.
I mean, this makes sense because now I can learn more about your kind.
Your kind.
Like the normal people.
Like I'm an alien. So we're going to talk about emotions. And we're going to continue this discussion onto next week's episode. Perhaps we'll talk more about the various emotions after that in future episodes.
So okay, I came up with the idea for this. Can I?
You did.
Can I vomit all over you?
I do want to know your ulterior motive, if you wouldn't mind.
Right. So my ulterior motive was to expose you as somebody who thinks with his heart instead of his head.
True.
Yeah. As a Baptist.
Yep. Check.
And the new Calvinist.
Check.
None of that is true.
And I have lots of Crossway paperbacks. Check.
Right. I found it really interesting last week, and I didn't really notice it in the moment because we were doing a Davisode. Mm-hmm. But I found it really interesting when you were saying that something you're realizing about yourself is that you are more emotional than you thought you were.
Yeah.
And I remember back when I was dealing with depression, the funny thing about depression is that like people say that it's the state of feeling like you have no emotions, like nothing matters. Like,
really?
Like depression is like a lack of affect. People,
that's interesting.
Some people describe it that way, but that lack of affect is almost in itself like an overbearing affection, an overbearing emotion, because it's this like, it's like apathy. If apathy were like scrunched up into a ball and thrown at you. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that because
I think I might agree with you there.
When I was going through depression, my pastor was pointing out to me that a lot of the things that I was saying were feeling language. Like I would have argued that my depression was an apathy, but really ultimately what was happening was I was believing feelings about God and about my relationship to God and about my relationship to everybody else and about myself and not believing like objective truths. And he actually gave me a quote from Jonathan Edwards that went something like, "Help me to believe before I feel, for great is the sin if I make feeling the like prerequisite for believing."
Okay.
And that was really, really helpful to me.
Yeah.
But I kind of had to come to two conclusions. One was that I was relying heavily on my emotions to know things.
Yeah.
Which was a lot easier. Like I said last week that my emotions fluctuate between 2 and 4. That's not like when I'm not sleeping well, that's not like 2 almost no emotion and 4 some emotion. That's like 2 feeling really miserable and 4 feeling slightly less miserable, where a 5 would be like right in the middle and then 10 would be like really joyful. Anyway, all of that to say, here I am talking about me. I found it really interesting because that was something that I identified with, where like I had to realize, oh, I have more emotions than I think I do.
Yeah.
And I'm dealing with them very, very poorly. And it sounds like that's kind of like what you were talking about last week. So I wanted to give you opportunity, as much as you're comfortable, to talk about maybe what some of those emotions are and how you relate to them and that sort of thing.
So this really is about me.
Well, and I mean, I'm sure that we'll have back and forth.
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm nervous.
Right.
But that's okay. Cause that's basically how I prepared for this.
Do you want to talk about nervousness?
You're well acquainted with it, right? No, but what you said about depression, I guess, resonates with me because with my limited experience, and I stress limited, experience with depression. I think one of the problems with one suffering through depression is that they are indeed feeling things. They're feeling a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they're misinterpreting their feelings. They're having trouble controlling their feelings. Their emotional reactions to events are charged and extreme, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why someone would say that.
I think maybe it's because of the lack of the emotions that they're used to. Like perhaps. They're used to being able to feel joy at this or that. And now all they feel is meh.
I also think that they're perceiving those emotions incorrectly as well. Mm. Like they're not, it could be that you are so in a depressive state that you are having trouble even knowing what's going on in your own heart, your own mind. But this isn't really an episode on depression.
No, we did that back in episode 7, sure. Sad Gumball Machine. People tell us it's our best episode.
People tell us, that's what they tell us, and we just believe them.
I don't.
So I listened to a podcast that one of our listeners recommended to us.
Right. I was going to listen to that, and then I did not.
I didn't expect to find inspiration from that, but it did, and it helped kind of launch my thoughts, my thinking for this episode and next episode. And just kind of helped me find like a controlling theme for emotions. Because, this show isn't really going to be interesting if you and I just talk about, let's talk about the times in our life when we were happy.
I have a couch downstairs.
Okay. Jim, just go ahead and lay on it. Why? Just do it. So that controlling theme that I heard from that show and heard from other places is that your emotional reaction, So your emotional reaction to an event in your life can be influenced by preconceived notions or constructs or a worldview that you got from your youth. Specifically, traumatic events could, if the seed of a traumatic event was planted in your mind, it could manifest years later in an emotional reaction to something. Mm-hmm. And it's very much informed by that traumatic event.
Like if you always had a crush on your mom.
What?
Freud.
Okay. Tell me about your mother. we're not going to talk about mom today.
Should I not have gone there? I thought bringing Freud in was just a natural.
David, all of this episode, you have been bringing things up, things that the audience will never even hear because I've deleted them already. And I can't stop you. You are just like a train going down a track and no one can stop that train. It's David McCoy.
Besides the conductor.
Besides the conductor who will just stop the train with the brakes. Thank you, David, very much. And it got me thinking what past events in my life dictate how I react to things now. And the first emotion I thought of with this theme in mind, past events dictating emotional reactions today, and how sometimes they're just so visceral and so powerful and so strong that they stay with you most, if not all of your life. The first emotion I thought of was sadness. I don't mean to get heavy on everybody today, but I guess we kind of have to because this is where the show is going. And this is where my thoughts are currently. So
what do you mean heavy? Is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull?
No one wants to hear about, a white guy being sad. Okay. Cause it's all, that's what we write our music about. Sad white guy music. But we're going to go there. But this all made sense to me because, I'm a pretty funny guy. I'm a pretty happy guy sometimes, at least it seems.
You present as happy.
And I identify as happy. oftentimes, my access to sadness is very strong. It's very quick. And it always seems to be underneath a layer. I have access to it almost throughout the entire day.
Like it's easy to slip into.
It's easy to slip into, it's like I'm susceptible to it. My resting sad face is pretty sad. I have a resting face that looks like sad or sometimes mad. And people
part of that's the mustache.
The mustache.
No, I'm serious.
The comically undersized mustache. What's that?
No, I'm serious. Like, I think I mentioned this on here before. Yeah. Our wedding pictures, I had a longer mustache.
Yeah.
And even when I'm smiling, it still looks like I'm not smiling.
Okay. David's
biggest regret of our wedding.
Biggest regret. David's resting mustache face. in my resting sad face. Well, so my how I relate to sadness is very much connected to my parents' divorce when I was 13 years old. Mm. My dad basically, the worst time for this to happen, not that there are other times that are just splendid and grand, but just when I was kind of going into the cusp of young adulthood, the emergence of hormones in my body, my dad basically left the family. Mm-hmm. And I had no real idea that this was happening because my parents really kept their differences away from me. And when I was 13, my dad left and divorced my mom and left the family. And my reaction to this happening was understandably pretty bad. Hmm. But if I were to ever point to a trauma in my past that very much is a part of my now, my present, it's that. Hmm. It's one of the very few emotions that I have a lot to say about because of the divorce of my parents. I remember feeling so sad and so broken and so abandoned that I have never really been able to shake it from my psyche. I often think about it almost every day, this feeling and what happened and all of the different bunny trails you could think of on this event. And whenever So how does this manifest today? When something like this happens and then you become a believer, you become a Christian, that can wipe away a lot of what happened before, the sad feelings that you feel, the devastation that you feel, because you're putting off your old self and you're putting on a new self full of a lot of joy. And reasons for joy. And I'm not saying that that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I do think in this sinful body that I have, while I have a sinful nature in this life, on this earth, I'm going to have to deal with certain things throughout my entire life. And this is probably going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. There are songs that I remember from that time that when I listen to them now, I'm devastated. Mm-hmm. And I don't even like thinking about them. Because when I think about them, I am transported back to those days where everything just fell apart and I felt completely abandoned. There are movies I can't watch. Like if something happens to a child where it has to do with abandonment, I'm wrecked because of stuff like that. The thought of me screwing my life up and losing my family absolutely terrifies me. It terrifies everybody, but it terrifies me because of this event in my life way back when. And sometimes the emotions that come up are uncontrollable because of this event. I tend to get really sad when I get sad. So I try to compensate by being the funny guy, by being the happy guy, by being the outgoing, bright, happy, fun, loving guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm all those things. But I have a feeling that one of the reasons why I relied on humor so much in my life is to counteract this or counterbalance this feeling that's underneath my skin that has been with me since I've been a teenager. Mm-hmm. And it has contributed to whatever depression I've ever dealt with in my life. It's been from this. It's been made a lot worse. I have a really hard time with father figures partly because of this. Mm-hmm. The father figures that emerged in my life after my dad left, it didn't go so well for me because some father figures that I knew of at the time didn't like me very much. Mm. And that has caused a lot of hurt. The best father figure I had after my dad left, the one who really, really invested in me, looked after me, really gravitated towards me and supported me and filled a void that was there, was killed in a bus accident. Mm-hmm. Early on, not long after I became really an adult. I was a young adult. What am I trying to say? Happened in my early 20s.
Right.
And I just can't seem to have good luck with these things. And that has contributed to how I approach sadness, very much so. And it's been difficult for me to kind of work through it sometimes and to shake it off and to move forward. And a lot of the spiritual problems that I have dealt with have a lot to do with how I relate to God as Father, big time. And I think I've had a lot of success really with that as I have grown, as I have grown in sanctification. I've been counseled through stuff like this. A lot of improvement is there. But nevertheless, it seems to be kind of a thorn in my side. The sadness about my dad has affected a lot of my life. When I think about this theme, past events dictating my emotional response to things, this is where I think it's big for me. This is where it's most true for me. I don't really have this experience with other emotions like joy or nervousness. Like some other people, it might be big for them, but not for me. Sadness seems to be an emotion that is very much informed by my past. So that's my spiel on sadness. I don't know if you have a joke here or not.
I have questions.
Okay, great. Like, what do we do after that? I feel awkward after saying all that.
Right.
So I guess there's really no way to go other than forward, David. So what do you think?
I mean, the only instance I've seen of somebody working through this, they became very, very rich, got in really good shape, and ran around at night solving crime. Those kinds of parental issues.
I got it right at the end. Okay.
Where were the other emotions going? You wanted a joke, so
yeah, that was great. That was really awesome.
So I want to talk about, I guess, the idea of an emotion and the idea of sadness in particular, because that's I think you wanted to try to talk about sadness and maybe also fear this week. But
yeah,
we'll see how far we get.
I put that in the notes because I fear things happening because of.
And there's, yeah, those divorce. Two emotions so seem kinda, to go together.
They're connected, but we don't really have to talk about it too much today.
So when I fear is the emotion when you just described, like the sadness that you're talking about feels very abstract to me.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I feel like for my emotions, and I don't know if this is the way it is for everybody. This is me asking questions.
Yeah.
How do humans do? When I have a strong emotion, it is almost always as if somebody wrote a concept, wrote a thought, a clause, if you will, on a rock, wrapped that rock in a rag soaked in gasoline.
This is interesting.
Lit it on fire and threw it into the window of my soul.
Okay.
And that could be a good thought.
What a picture.
So, but what I mean is like, if you just saw a rock on the ground that said something like, you know, if somebody just threw that into your house and said, and the rock said, you know, you're useless. Like that's one that I've talked about wrestling with, right? If somebody just threw that into your house, you'd be like, oh, come on. Like somebody threw a rock, they broke a window. This is really annoying. But if that rock is on fire, well, now your living room is on fire. Now everything's on fire. And it's all because of this thought that I'm useless.
I'm trying to understand this as you say it. Are you saying, following this picture that you're describing here, do you feel like the emotions are invading your space?
Is that
what that means?
Yes and no. Okay. I guess what I mean is that it is a catalyst for a particular thought. An emotion for me never comes. Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes I have an emotion and I have no reason for it. When I haven't been eating and sleeping well, I may get an anxiety attack, which is basically just fear for no reason. And I've had to learn that that's for no reason, because what I would try to do initially was I would try to pick a rock to wrap it around and throw it, you know, set it on fire and throw it. But the idea of it being that, like, you know how, what's his name? Martin Lloyd-Jones.
My Martin Lloyd-Jones. Your guy. Your man.
Admittedly, you're the one who does the impression.
True.
He once described preaching as logic on fire. Right. And that's how I feel about my emotions. Is it's never a simple matter. Like if I'm feeling sadness, what I'm feeling is a heavy weight around a particular concept, like you're useless, or like you'll never do this, or like it could be something that just happened to me, like your grandmother is dead or something like that. Like the sadness is always associated with a particular thought or like grouping of maybe 3 to 5 thoughts. Is that how it is with you? Or like you're describing sadness as this thing that like, it almost seems to just come over you and you just feel sadness. But is there a thought associated with that? And especially any recurring thoughts?
I will say that for me, a rock isn't thrown into my window. It's on fire. I feel like I'm in a house made of that rock.
Okay.
And I kind of have to go where it goes.
What's the rock say though?
It says that, well, Dad is gone. He's dead. He's not coming back. So I'm certainly not pining for him to come back. That I fully know that.
Right.
But there's nothing you can do about. There's no way to make it better because he's dead.
So this will not get better, maybe?
Yeah, it's never, ever, ever going to get better. And also, this sadness, this particular sadness that I've been talking about is often triggered when I believe lies about how I relate to God as Father. And the truths that are supposed to sustain me through those times of doubt and despair, and condemnation, it's usually that, I kind of forget them.
I can absolutely relate to this.
Yeah. So is that answering your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I don't know. Sometimes the way people talk about emotions, it's much more abstract.
Well, this is difficult to get specific about. Sometimes I'm struggling to get specific about the things that cause it's just so many things can trigger an emotional response in a person. And you may not even realize what's happening at the moment. Cause when you're triggered into an emotional response, you're just in the emotion and you can't really get out of it sometimes. And I'm speaking of emotion in strong terms, not because all emotions impact us this way and we're completely powerless to do anything about it. I'm not saying that. I'm just in the context of sadness when it hits me. It's difficult for me to see outside of it.
And that's kind of what I mean by like the rock is on fire. Like
that could like be interpreted.
It's a thought that is just going to start to consume the rest of my thoughts. It's a thought that's going to keep coming back and there's a weightiness to it. It's like that thought is now megaphoned.
Yeah. I guess I can now understand that. Yeah. That's definitely it. Yeah.
And it's the repeated nature of it too. At least for me, like when I was going through depression, again, that thought like I'm useless, I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm, you know, I should just go home. I had that thought all the time when I came out to Spokane for school and you know, was dating Sarah. And I just felt like so often, like, I'm not doing any good out here. I'm just making everybody's lives worse or miserable, or I'm just making an idiot, you know, making a fool of myself. I'm going to end up back home with my parents anyway, because I don't have any usable skills. I should just go home. Okay. Like that was this recurring like mantra almost. It really was like something that I would meditate on.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm starting to understand a little bit more of what you're saying. Sometimes when I see other friends that are male and successful and are fathers, and it seems like their life is just so wonderful. And I get this thought in my head that, well, you were never taught that when you were a child, because your dad never bothered to model that life for you. He modeled a lot of bad things for me, let's just say that. You are deprived of an upbringing that sets you up for the success that these men have. So I'm falling into like envy and sadness that it's much too late for me to live a life like they do because of what I didn't have. And I fall into those silly, silly little negative feedback loops and very awful mental models based on those thoughts and those lies. At my worst, I do think those things. So, So like when I see like families with children that grow up through their teenagers with a good dad, that rather than make me happy, and it does sometimes, It also makes me sad because of what happened. And that has such a terrible effect on how I conduct myself now. Because if I wallow in that stuff, if I get sad about this stupid, silly stuff, I become ineffective as a father. So getting out of that is very much important for me, to not fall into those moments of envy and jealousy and sadness that I lost so much and now I can't give that to my kids, which is not true. I have so many tools and people, and I have a faith that really allows me to move forward despite my past. And that's when it's good.
Sadness is such a, I think maybe this was why I had such a hard time writing about the two emotions, sadness and fear, because sadness is such a broad emotion.
Like, yeah, true.
It doesn't cover positive things. Although there are some people I know who are like, yeah, I kind of like to be sad sometimes. Like, I knew people who would say that to me in college, and I don't understand them.
Maybe they didn't either. Understand that.
And I'm like, yeah, sometimes I just like to like sit in the rain and be sad, and then I feel better. Like,
so like, are they trying to say they want to be pensive? And
I think thoughtful? Pensive might have been thoughtful. What they were. I don't really understand. But anyway, sadness is this thing. Like, it's not anger. Like, we know it's not anger.
Yeah.
It's a strongly negative emotion, at least, except for those people who like being sad. And it is. It's also not fear. Like, it's somewhere in between those two. And it's not a. It's not as aggressive as anger. But it might be aggressive toward you, like anger is. Like, anger makes you aggressive toward other people. Sadness might make you aggressive toward you. And fear makes you withdraw from people. And sadness maybe makes you withdraw from you.
It breeds self-pity, maybe no other emotion can.
Or it presents opportunities maybe for self-pity. Yeah, because, I mean, there are definitely, like, I don't want to talk about sadness like it should never be a thing. Because there are definitely times when
we can lament, right? We can biblically lament.
Not only can we, but like, we should experience sadness at something. Something's wrong if we're not sad about certain things that happen.
Yeah. Maybe the 20-year-old was trying to say something like that. I want to sometimes lament in a good way.
Maybe. Yeah. You know,
so that it can give me proper perspective.
Right.
Sadness is not, you're right. It's not like anger. In some small way, righteous anger, it can be appropriate. But sadness, I've always found that I'm usually wallowing in too much self-pity because of it. It really screws me up. But sometimes I feel like I need it for perspective.
What do you mean by that?
So I don't forget the lessons learned throughout this experience. Because you do learn lessons about all this.
Sure.
You appreciate what you have, because if you lose it and there's nothing you can do about it, that's a horrible, awful feeling. So to live life better. If you're so sad about your dad, then live your life differently. Never been able to do a good job about that. It's never really supposed to dictate too much your future.
When I was going through the depression, and it's still true even to this day, like, if there's a trigger for me with depression, well, here's an example. I don't drive. Like, I don't have a license.
It's the first time you've mentioned that on the show.
I know how to drive. Like, I did all the training. I was going to do it just before I left to come out here and get my Pennsylvania license. And there were two lines at the stop sign where you're supposed to stop, like two white lines painted right across. And I stopped at the second one. Cause I don't know which one you're supposed to stop at. Like, how the heck should I know? There's two lines. And the guy told me when I got done, he's like, you did everything perfectly, except you stopped at the wrong line at the stop sign. I was like, well, how am I supposed to know? He's like, oh, just always stop at the closer one.
Okay.
It's like, okay. I don't know. It's not normal to have two. It was a stop sign, for crying out loud. Sometimes I see the two lines for like a traffic light.
I don't think I've heard of this, but
no, it was really bizarre. And so I didn't get my license, and I came out here, and I haven't bothered to do it. Like, I've been busy. I don't feel like it, but there's also this thing that, okay, I'm 30 years old now and I don't have a driver's license.
Yeah.
And there is very much a part of me that wants to feel very emasculated or very, emasculated is as close as I'm coming to, but even if you were female, you could have this emotion that, like, there's a thing that like everybody is that you're supposed to be that you're not.
I believe there's a German word for this.
Yeah.
Sorry, no kidding. Sorry.
And when things like that come up, or when I think about how like I went to Bible college at 21 mm-hmm. rather than going to college at 18. And like here I am at 30 figuring out like, oh, maybe I should be doing software development. Like how many years of like being in the field doing my work could I have if I hadn't basically done nothing between 18 and 21 and then stupidly thought I was going to be a pastor for like 5 years mm-hmm. and then finally come to this place here? Like, like how much further along could I be? And I essentially just have to cut those kinds of thoughts off because I know self-pity might be the emotion to use here, where like I will start to pity myself, but, and this is maybe where the idea of like not wanting to call it an emotion, not wanting to call depression an emotion comes in, because it's not that I pity myself. I'm more like I'm angry at myself.
Okay. Yeah.
But I also feel like, well, but it's what I deserve because I was so lazy and I didn't go, you know, do these things. And, and there are things that trigger these feelings that I think I would associate with sadness mm-hmm. that are because of things earlier in my life. So I guess I'm just trying to relate to you.
I think, I think everyone can relate to this really. Mm-hmm. I mean, cause I think this is true. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, I mean, anyone is capable of feeling the emotion of sadness. Anyone is capable of feeling the emotion of joy or nervousness or self-pity. But sometimes our past can accentuate this mm-hmm. and make it much more meaningful and give you a lot more opportunity to fail and do it wrongly because of your past. And, you know, this I've devoted much of my time thinking about sadness in this regard. Mm-hmm. And my hope is, and the point of this show is for listeners to reflect and take inventory of their past and see what kind of events or preconceived notions or things that you heard and believed to be true way back then and still do now are affecting how you emotionally react to something. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way for people to try and fix some of that, mm-hmm. fix their emotional trajectories. And for me, I need to fix my sadness because I am freaking going to be Batman if I don't take care of this crap.
Spokane could use a Batman, honestly, especially with the homeless population rising.
You need to take a shower. Stop defecating on the sidewalk.
There's really no way to end a show on sadness well.
Right. Like, well, we could talk about maybe the things that we do when we feel it coming that help. And this is different from depression, but although mine's going to be probably more similar to depression because that's what I associate with sadness.
Putting off the old man and putting on the new one. Hmm. Relying on and taking joy in a new identity that I can change radically. Things that I have built up into my psyche can change, can be improved, can be redeemed. That's, I guess, a word I want to use. This sadness can be redeemed through Christ. And through the means of grace and the means that God has made available to me, the church, my church family, preaching, all sorts of wonderful, wonderful things, the word, relying on the word, all of these things provided to me can redeem that sadness. Mm-hmm. And those have been the best tools. If I didn't become a believer, mm-hmm. back when I did, I honestly don't know where I would be right now. I'd hesitate to say what I want to say right now, but let's just say wherever I would be, it would be in a very, very, very bad place. I would be my worst self times five. And that's not a good thought. Thinking about that also gives me hope because I have been... Someone is looking, a father is looking out for me, advocating for me, and pushing me along and sanctifying me. And that's been the best news for me. I hate to get all gospel centered on you, but I did.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that came to mind. Next week, we're going to talk about some things that some less cool means that can move us along in emotional ruts. But yeah, so that's what that's my final comment. Do you have a final comment?
I mean, I would identify with a lot of that. The doctrine specifically of providence, because when I start thinking about all the things, like when I think about where I am and all that stuff about how I'm not really where I should be, like I should be able to be making more money. Not that I should be making more money, but like I should be able to be making more money because I should have been doing this longer.
Yeah, I have that too. That's another, that's a show topic in and of itself.
And so as I think about those things though, I have to remind myself, like, I think it's kind of fine to be a little bit angry at myself for that. Like, I think it's kind of fine.
That's okay.
Yeah, because like I did sin and I can be angry at sin.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that as long as, you know, I have a few seconds of that and then I move on. And I'm thankful for the gospel, for the fact that I can be forgiven for that. And the fact that, you know, like you were saying that Jesus is advocating for me and my life is going better than it should be.
Yep.
But then the other idea is just like providence, because some of these things feel like they kind of happened to me, like whether it's, you know, how my parents raised me or the disadvantages that I had for because of this or maybe even autism, like because of this or that reason, there are other factors like, you know, the church that I grew up in, I was kind of always going to end up thinking I wanted to be a pastor. Like that's just how it was going to go.
You stayed there.
And so it's easy to be upset about those things, but the idea of providence and the idea that like God has painstakingly made sure that at every point, exactly what needed to happen to me happened to me.
Yeah.
And he hasn't like, I don't know, just resting in that, resting in the idea that like, it's not like God's up there going, oh dang, like those crazy Baptists really screwed up David's life.
And how,
even if I'm thinking that he's not.
Good. What a way to say it. So you could be sad about or mad about your past, but it happened.
Which means that it's good.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Yeah. And then to remind myself that to be upset about that is to be upset with God.
Yeah.
It is to suppose that I know better than God, to suppose that I am wiser than God. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I tend to very quickly shut down those lines of thought because I don't want to keep sinning. You know, I don't want to keep questioning God's providence.
I need to get better at that. I am slow to turn those things off.
It's not easy. I mean, it took me, I'm still getting better at it, you know, but
yeah. Well, hey, let's end on a positive note. No, that's what I was looking for. Some sort of positive note. Cause I just kind of brought us all into this wallowing in this mire here.
Anything north of middle C.
There you go. We're going up on the octave. So, hey folks, thanks for listening. Short show today, short show next week. Blessedly so. I bet you everyone's just rejoicing that we have only given them a little bit of flogging instead of an hour and 50 minutes, which maybe we'll just do next time. So, hey.
Well, yeah, because they'll have gone a week. The first episode in October, the second episode in October
Be
like 3 hours.
Okay, great. Well, that's all I have. See you all next week. Bye.
Won't someone save me from this podcast? Started off so tough.